and this is Coast Community Radio, KMUNS, Storyan 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. Boodler's Point for now, and maybe even East 66th Street. That would be nice. Folks, wherever you are, I hope it's as beautiful as it is here. It is 68 degrees, with a beautiful breeze, a blue sky, and we're all walking around with smiles on our faces. Some sadness in our hearts for all of the tragedies that are going on around the world. I'm going to send out our show of the healing arts, because all arts are healing, to all those in need. And to my brother, yeah, with good luck. And Arts Live and Local is happening right now. This is Carol. And today is a special day because, well, have a listen and you'll find out.
The Tenor Guitar Foundation is proud to announce the 8th Annual Tenor Guitar Gathering, being held on June 2nd and 3rd in Astoria. 2 days full of music, good people, laughs, and community. During the day, there are jam sessions, workshops, and performances. Each night at the Astor Street Opry Company, late founder Mark Joseph will be honored and inducted into the Tenor Guitar Hall of Fame. For all details, go to tenorguitargathering.info.
This announcement is part of Coast Community Radio's My Day program. My Day participants get a message of their choice aired 8 times in 1 day on our airwaves. For more information on how you can support Coast Community Radio through My Day and other options, please call the station at 503-325-0010.
I am so thrilled to be able to share that with you, and we'll be hearing some music from Tenor Guitar Gathering coming up during the show, and hope you've all got that on your calendars. There's so much happening in this area, so you need to have a big calendar. Coming up right now, I have a piece of music to introduce my first 3 or 4 guests, and that is Summer Osborne, who is coming right here to Astoria. So stay tuned and enjoy. Thanks for being here, folks.
Body's chained to the floor. How do I explain to anyone that I just don't want to listen anymore? I forgot why I came here in the first place. Plant my feet and then it's time to go. To redeem a boat ticket set, I have so many more miles to go. I have so many more miles to go. Throw me a river, put it right here. Let me float on down. Lay my head in the first place that might fill me up. And I'll make sure. We arise up from the ground. Reaching out into the moonlight, it looks like rain tonight. How do I explain to everyone, to everyone, that I just don't want to put up a fight. I'd spew all my agitations on the earth's floor. I just hope she can soak it up. You can shake all my foundations and I'd still be here. I just might need a hand to help me up. I just might need a hand to help me up. Throw me a river, put it right here. Let me float on down, lay my head in the first place that might fill me up. And I'll make sure you hear the sound, you hear my cry, then I will rise up from the ground. I remember that flash of light, and I remember what it felt like. But I know that I won't get this right if I don't feel. If I don't feel, if I don't feel, if I don't feel me.
That is the powerful, beautiful voice of Summer Osborne. And again, she will be here. She is going to be part of the Pride celebration, and she will be singing. I'm going to let Marco tell you about that. And she's also going to have a public gig here during the week, and we'll let you know about that as we get closer. She's been here before, and she is a wonderful performer, delightful. And you are listening to Coast Community Radio. So I have my guests here in the studio, and I've asked them all to join me, although these are two completely separate events, except that nothing is really separate in this world. So so you just heard the voice, sort of Marco Davis. Hi, Marco.
Hello.
And let me introduce my other guests, and then we're going to tell you why we're all here. I have Sue Gelinio. Hi, Sue.
Hello.
Good, good. Some guests come and they just shake their heads. You know, like, you're not shy. Have you been on KMUN before?
One other time, yes.
Okay, good. And Janet Robinson, I know you have.
Yes,
and,
hi.
Okay, so Sue and Janet are here as a pair to tell you about some theater coming up. But I'm going to start off with Marco to set the scene. Marco.
Yes.
Why are you here this time?
Oh, let me think, Carol. What could it be about? Maybe that we have Astoria's Gay Pride coming up on June 9th, 10th, and 11th.
Now, this is the second annual?
Yes. Last year was our inaugural Pride.
And was that kind of nervousing last year because nobody had done it before in
it
Astoria?
It was. Yeah, and especially with the Q Center being new as well. So we're all just learning to walk together, and it was a nerve-wracking thing to think of mounting a Pride celebration. But it was so beautiful. I just put a word out to a bunch of friends and asked them to see if they wanted to go on this crazy adventure with me and try to organize a Pride. And then the community just got behind us. And this year has been overwhelming. I mean, the community support that we've had has just been...
That's fantastic.
Yes.
So tell folks what is going to happen. First of all, again, it is not this weekend, not even next weekend, but it's happening from the 9th to the 11th, so that's in 2 weeks.
Yes.
So tell us what's going to be happening.
Well, on Friday night, June 9th, we're having our gala celebration at the Liberty Theater, which is very exciting.
It's gonna be gorgeous.
And it'll start out with Cocktails with the Queens at 6:30 until 7:30, but we have limited tickets for that. There are only 200 tickets.
Okay, so that was what I was going to mention. Friday night is a ticketed events.
Yes. Assigned.
Saturday and Sunday are not.
Are not.
Open completely.
Yes. Friday night's the only one that is 21 and over.
Okay.
And tickets. Everything right. else is all ages, all free.
And all dress up or not.
Yes.
So on for Friday night tickets, where do they get those?
They can get them at libertyastoria.org or at the Liberty Box Office.
Which is on 12th and Commercial. But you probably, I'm pretty sure, should get your tickets in advance.
Absolutely. Yeah. Which is great to get to have assigned seats and know where you're sitting.
Yeah.
And we're really excited to get to perform in that theater. I mean, it's been a dream of mine ever since. The first time I went into that theater was as a child.
I was going to say, how old were you?
Well, it was Coal Miner's Daughter was the first movie I saw there.
Right. The Liberty Theater is our 1925 vaudeville gem of a theater, which then became silent movies and now then became talkies. That's when Marco started. And
yeah.
I started too, because I came 43 years ago and watched movies there. And now it is a what we call a legitimate theater, and it's packed with all kinds of goodies. So next 2 weeks from tonight is
yeah.
going to be the gala event for Pride. So again, you can get your tickets for that. Then what happens on Saturday?
On Saturday, we have the block party down on the waterfront, just at the foot of 21st Street. It's right next to the Maritime Museum. It's where they always do the Brewfest.
So it's between the Maritime Museum and the Barbie Center.
It's east
right.
of the Barbie Center.
Right. Oh.
That big lot
okay.
there.
Okay.
And so it'll happen from 1 to 7
okay.
on Saturday.
Okay.
And we're going to have food booths and there are vendors. And then we have a stage setup. We have three great bands coming. We have Reviver coming, which they made the Rolling Stones list of top 10 great modern punk bands.
Whoa, where are they coming from?
They are from Olympia, Washington.
Cool.
And so they will be here. And then we have the glorious voiced Summer Osborne performing.
Yes, oh, you just
yes,
heard. Who is
so good.
Fabulous.
And then we have Your Heartbreaks coming, and they are so good. And yeah.
Where are they? Are they local band? Or
nope,
do you know
they are from Seattle.
Wow, this is fantastic.
Yes, it's so great. And then we have a bunch of visiting drag queens from Washington and Oregon that are coming to do performances as well in between the bands.
On Saturday.
On Saturday.
Okay, and this is all outdoors.
All outdoors.
So the weather's going to be fabulous.
It's going to be gorgeous.
Of course.
But, you know,
just
we're Oregonians.
Absolutely.
We do whatever, you know.
We adapt, absolutely. So
and
that's Saturday, 1 to 7.
Mm-hmm. And then we also have Purple Cow's going to set up a bunch of fun toy playthings for kids to be entertained with as well.
So young children are more
mm-hmm.
than welcome.
I'm going to do a mini dance class at some point during
oh, cool.
the day. Yeah,
oh, cool.
It's going to be great. And then that evening, we'll have our dance party at the Astoria Arts and Movement Center.
The Astoria Arts and Movement Center, which is one of the most valuable movement venues in the town. And if you care about it, you need to tune in.
Yeah, I know.
Stand
it's,
up,
yeah.
speak out yeah. for all of our arts venues in this town, of our beloved town.
You know, that the one thing I think that's so beautiful about what's happening with that is that we're recognizing that it's time for us as a community to say, hey, this is what we want to be happening
right.
in our town, and not roll over and just let people tell us what to do.
Right. Because and if you don't know what we're talking about,
Call me.
Yeah. Go to their website or call me after the show at 4 o'clock and I'll fill you in. But in the meantime, Saturday night, what time is that happening?
That's from starting at 9. And
so
that's also an all ages dance party.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
The Saturday basically is our thank you to the community. That's like the gift we want to give to the town. Thank you for always supporting us, for giving us respect and common courtesy, and for being there for us. Because this community has really...
This community is smart.
Yeah.
And we know when we see good stuff.
Yes.
We know to embrace it.
It's
and
so true.
Support it.
Yeah.
So. Okay, so that's Saturday. What about Sunday?
Sunday, we have our foot and bike parade on the waterfront, which will be starting underneath the big bridge down behind Swimmy Hall by
the
Maritime.
On the west side of
yes.
town.
Yes. And then it will head east to... The Barbie Center.
What time does that start?
It starts at 12:30.
Okay.
We're going to open for registration at 10.
Okay.
And we have Ilwaco High School's marching band is joining us. How excited is that?
Great.
And
great.
And then that morning, the kit at the Unitarian Church is having a special service.
Oh, lovely.
At 10:30. And
that takes place at another venue that we would like to see.
Well, they're going to actually have it.
Oh, are they going to do it somewhere
else? They're going to have it at the Masonic Temple, but
usually
they are at the PAC. I know, we need to save, yeah.
Yeah, well, and bottom line, those are two beautiful buildings, but it's on 16th and Franklin, both of those buildings,
yes.
So how lovely. Okay.
And then for the parade, we have Poison Waters coming back from Portland this year to co-MC with Dita DeAngelis.
Oh, yeah.
And then Byron Beck is also going to be emceeing at the rally at the end of the parade. And then Darcel's, one of our grand marshals.
Darcel's coming.
And then we have Leroy and Margaret and Geraldyn as our local grand marshals. And they'll all be riding in the trolley that we've reserved for 3 hours.
This is all on Sunday.
Yes. And you know what's so so crazy about Sunday, too, is that it will be the year anniversary of... the end of our pride last year, and we had the big attack in Orlando last year,
That's
and
right.
we had that gorgeous vigil that we went out and supported,
that was powerful.
and so it's just like it's a heavy. I mean, it's a beautiful year, but I think there's a lot of that.
We need to carry the memories and bring us together to celebrate our lives, but not forget those who are discriminated against for whatever reason. In this case, LGBTQI, and we don't even know why people are being killed. Small children, it's hard to understand any of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Aha. So the service, it turns out, is going to be at the PAC.
Oh, awesome.
Okay. So remember, now you can save two of your favorite arts venues, the Performing Arts Center on 16th and Franklin and the AAMC, Astoria Arts and Movement Center, on 10th Street.
Yeah.
Okay, folks, this is all happening June 9 to 11. What's the website people should go to see?
Well, you could go to lcqcastoria.org, which is the Q Center website, and we have an Astoria Pride Facebook page.
Okay.
And then we have the Pride Guide that's out and about all over town that you can pick up that has everything in it.
A newspaper format,
yeah.
Kind of.
I have one for you, Carol.
How wonderful.
I will leave it for you.
Thank you.
And then you can get the tickets for the Liberty Theater at libertyastoria.org or at the box office there.
Wonderful. Okay, folks.
And I was going to say, one more thing is that, and this is actually a nice segue, because there are so many awesome things that are happening in the community that aren't on the calendar for, like, with Pride, we've put our program together of what we're doing. But, like, Lucy's Books is having a lesbian artist in talking from a new book that she has put out. The Maritime is doing a big dance party after the gala on the Friday night. You know, so there's a lot of community support going on.
Is there any theater?
Well, you know, I think there's some stuff going on down in Manzanita.
Well, what do you know?
What and do you the, say?
And we just happen to have two people here right now who can tell us a little bit about that. Thank you, Marco Davis. This is going to be a gorgeous weekend.
Yes.
And I am going to shift over, not very far, right here in the studio, to my guests, Sue Gelinio and Janet Robinson, who will be at the Hoffman in Manzanita, and that will be on June 9th, so that is 2 weeks from tonight, for, well, I'm going to let either one of them tell you about it, but what's really exciting is how this came about, because just as Marco was telling you last year with the first annual, well, I don't know if this is going to be an annual, but Sue, it sounds as though, Sue, you came up with this idea. And tell us what you're doing and how this came about.
It started as an experiment. There are a lot of writers in the Manzanita area. So we threw out there, the Hoffman very graciously threw out there that we could have a contest writing one-act plays. Gave them plenty of time, as much help as we could on what a one-act play looks like. We had three people very graciously offer to be judges.
Oh,
and
cool.
Osborne Cooper Smith, Gail Baldwin Frank, and George Gazanza. Pronounced his name incorrectly.
Yes.
And so they each were at random given plays. Nobody knew who wrote what.
Where did these plays come from now?
All over. They were, because of a miscommunication, they came from all over the world, actually. We had one from even Australia.
Oh, my gosh!
One of the winning plays came from Canada.
Anyway, there were
a lot of plays. We divided them up in three groups at random, completely blind. Each judge had a pile to read, and each chose their favorite play. And those are the ones we were going to do as Reader's Theater. As it turned out, they all have a lesbian theme or component. And so
isn't that amazing? And this was not all in the writing.
No, and I don't even know if the judges know each other. So, you know, it just happened. And so what a better time to present these than this week. So that's
so
fantastic. So you mean you didn't have the date set in advance?
No, actually we were planning to originally do it in April. And then we knew that the this week was going to be
Pride
a special week. So we decided to do it in that week. So
very nice. So this is three one-act plays.
They are.
And they're being done as Reader's Theater. Who's doing the, who's performing the plays?
There are eight volunteers in the Manzanita, Nehalem area that have experience generally with the Riverbend players. And they've all agreed to do it.
And so one of them is sitting here now.
She is.
Hi, Janet Robinson, who has been my guest numerous times because she's another one of these, wears a lot of hats. Although today she isn't wearing a hat. Marco is, I know this, which is got to switch.
I don't want to burn the bald head.
That too, really. So Janet is part of the Riverbend Players. And before we go on, I want to make a pitch. Because last weekend I went to see the play that was done by the Riverbend Players, and that is the Cole Porter's and the name I always, it's Cole Porter's You Never Know. And I really didn't know what it was going to be, except I knew that the music and the lyrics were by Cole Porter. And on the 5th of May, I had some folks come in and tell us about it. Well, last weekend, I went and saw it, and I was absolutely delighted.
Mm.
The music was fantastic. These were people who could actually sing and move and act.
That's always a nice thing.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
And here's the best part for you folks listening. They have generously, Riverbend Players has generously given us some tickets. And if you call us right now, and Herb is sitting on the phone, or at least near the phone, he will pick up the phone, and you will be able to get yourself tickets for the Cole Porter's You Never Know. I highly recommend it. This is at the NCRD, that's the North County Recreation District in Nehalem, And it's running Friday night and Saturday night at 7 and Sunday at 2. So you can choose whichever performance you like. And it's right there in the Halem. So give us a call, 503-325-0010, and tell them you're in for the Cole Porter's River Bend production. Now, we're going to go back to our one acts, which are in Manzanita at the Hoffman on June 9th. Janet Robinson, who is the segue between the two things, because she is one of the River Bend players. What are you going to be doing?
I'm going to be reading the third from the third play. These plays, interesting that they all had lesbian themes, but even more interesting is that they come from three eras. One is from World War One. One is from World War One in France, 1940s in Chicago, and the third one is, it looks like, kind of West Coast. It doesn't quite identify city, West Coast, current time.
Wow.
And so that makes it interesting, too, in terms of understanding the history mm-hmm. of people and their reactions to lesbians during these times.
This is amazing. That's so cool. That these plays were submitted. They were judged cold and blind, and boom, it so came together. Must have been obviously meant to be.
Yeah, I think so.
And so the play that you're in, is it?
Is the last one, which is Current Time. And okay.
How many folks are?
There are three of us in that play. And it really tells the kind of the social issues of the day and how they are experienced by lesbian couples, and the similarities and differences that happen if you're a heterosexual couple versus a lesbian couple.
But there's only three of you in the play.
Right. Right.
Let's see. We can't have two couples, but
no.
Maybe we can. I don't know.
No.
People can cross up. And have you done Reader's Theater before?
I have, yes.
Yeah, because I happen to be a big fan of Reader's Theater. We just finished up here in Astoria last night.
I am my own wife. So beautiful. Bill
yeah.
Honnell was so
amazing,
delightful.
Wasn't it? And just, that play was done at the NCRD last year.
Yes.
And George Zunza was the
he was the
director.
He has another one coming up in July at the in
well,
Halem too.
I hope he gets in touch with me. Would love to have him back on again. So the folks who are reading, the thing about Reader's Theater is it gives you a chance to really pay attention to the words. But it is theater. It's not like a poetry, although some poetry readings these days are theater, too.
Very much so.
They are, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're already rehearsing? Are you rehearsing with each other? Or
we will be starting this weekend,
okay.
Yes.
That's one of the advantages of Reader's Theater. You don't have quite as much time needed in order to rehearse.
Right.
So, and the other two plays, who are the folks who came forward on that? Did you audition or did you call people and
just
ask?
Just called and asked for volunteers.
Okay.
The first play is called Gertrude and Alice Go to War.
We know who that is. Okay.
Written by a gentleman from the Bay Area. The second one is called A Man's Home. It is written by a lady who used to be an English teacher on the south side of Chicago but now lives in Southern California.
And wrote about Chicago.
And right? Then this last one, The Human Refuse, which is written by a Canadian.
Wow.
So,
isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. Okay, so now, Sue, what's your background in theater? Because you're wait a minute, are you directing all three plays?
I am. I'm just, I think coordinating is probably a better idea, better word for it, maybe. I just decided to initiate the contest, handled all the paperwork, and came up with these three plays, and called some people and said, let's do it. So that's all we've. That's what we're doing.
She makes it sound like it's so simple. You
right.
You try it. Coordinating people and stuff is not it's not always the simplest thing. So, have you directed plays before?
I have a couple. I'm a wannabe playwright, so I've directed a few and written a few. And
so that's perhaps
my interest, right? I'm a part of the River Bend Player Band of people.
Okay, And that's what made you think about asking folks to submit plays.
Right, because I think I was mostly curious to see how much interest there is into writing original plays.
And so you found out,
found
didn't
it,
you?
Yeah.
So now, what did you do because you said by miscommunication you ended up getting stuff from all over the
world. Generally the Hoffman Center specifies very local requirements, right? Some kind of tie to the North Coast.
Oh.
And that was mistakenly left out.
I see.
And so that's why we got them from all over the world.
Okay. Okay. Well, but the players are all local.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So it sounds very exciting. And I think that has been done in the area before, but the more it can be done, the better, to give people the opportunity. Did you get many writers from this area? Were they mostly from away?
Oh, probably a third to a half were from this area.
Great.
And the rest were from all over. With the internet, everyone...
True.
You know.
You can get the word out.
Exactly.
Okay, wonderful. So, and did you specify that they had to be amateur playwrights?
The only requirements were it had to be 30 pages or less. It had to be unpublished and unperformed and original.
Right.
Right, that's it.
That's fantastic. Very exciting. Okay, folks, this is going to be one heck of a weekend no matter where you live, I'm sure, because it's Pride weekend all over the country or the world.
Well, it starts, June is Pride Month, pretty much. But like Portland's is the week after.
Oh, okay.
And then Seattle's is the week after that. So
okay, that's
they're kind
good.
Of, yeah.
So people can.
Yeah, we tried to plan Astoria Prides not on either of those because we have so many friends from Portland and Seattle that love to journey here.
And performers.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't believe Darcella's coming here. I'm so excited.
Right.
okay, so in Astoria. It's the whole weekend, starting Friday night through Sunday. And in Manzanita, there may be other things going on. We don't know yet. Maybe somebody will let us know. But for sure, on Friday night, June 9th, at the Hoffman, which if you know Manzanita or if you don't know Manzanita, basically it's one long block. Lanita and all the good stuff is there. There are some offshoots, but basically you can't get lost. And that, what is the time on your plays? And do people need to get tickets in advance? It's not.
It will be 7 o'clock, June 9th, which is Friday afternoon or late evening.
Friday evening.
Evening. Cost will probably $10.
We don't get cost. That's okay. At the door.
At the door.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. So get there. Because it's just the one night.
One night.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
One night only.
Yeah, well, you never know. Maybe we'll get them to come up here and do it another time.
I know, right?
Wonderful. Thank you to all of my guests. Janet Robinson in the middle. Sue Gelinio, who initiated this, created this script writing contest and is directing, a.k.a. coordinating the plays. And Marco Davis from the LCQC, the Lower Columbia Q Center, which is sponsoring the Pride weekend, June 9th through 11th. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay, folks. Got some music for you. And then I have, of course, some more guests coming in. And I mentioned that... I didn't mention it. Actually, My Day mentioned that the Tenor Guitar Gathering is happening, and that is next weekend. Let's hear a little bit from Tim May, one of the guests in the past who is coming back. And folks, go to the website, tenorguitar.info, and check it out. Get your tickets. You can get a whole package of workshops. It's a fantastic gathering. And that is Tim May from the Tenor Guitar Gathering. And again, that's next weekend. And it's going to be amazing. And you know what? For tenor guitar, those of you who've heard it before know, they fill the room right here at Coast Community Radio. And then we get to hear lots of music. I have one other guest. The wonderful Dr. Denise Reed will be in to tell us about a concert coming up. And then it's going to be all tenor guitar next week. Now, what's a tenor guitar, by the way? It's a four-string guitar. And Mark, who started the whole thing, used to say he always carried around a pair of clippers. In case somebody with a six-string guitar got inspired, he was always ready to help them out. I don't think he ever really did that. But anyway, we'll see you there. Right now, I have some folks who are from across the river. If you're sitting at Coast Community Radio, which is right here in Astoria. And I actually have four folks in the studio again. Well, no, last time it was three. And but we're going to hear about one individual show at one specific gallery and then give you the greater picture of what's going on. And this is also next weekend. Yes, I have to, my goodness, it's so amazing how much is going on here. It's hard to keep track of it all. The Artport Gallery, which is in Ilwaco, is having a show called Origin of Myths. And I'm going to let my guests, Barbara Malon, like Melon Malon?
Yes, that's right, Malon. Carol.
Okay. I put my little mark, and then I said, what does that mean here? Who is who works in encaustics, and she'll tell you what that is, too, for those who aren't quite sure. And then someone I think new to me, Bill Atwood. Have you been here before, Bill?
I have not.
Have you? You
this is my first time.
Your first time on Coast Community Radio?
Yes, it is.
Is it your first time on radio?
No.
Okay. So you are a KMUN virgin, but not a radio virgin. So.
Well, it's always good to be a virgin.
Yes, nobody else in this room is. I know this. What can I tell you? It's just the way it is.
Well, I'm in good company.
Yes, you are. Okay, so Bill and Barbara are part of this exhibit, Origin of Myths, and Bill is a metal sculptor.
Correct.
So they're completely different art forms, and I'm wondering, are there other artists in this show as well, or are you the featured artists? Is there the origin of myths? What are we talking about?
Okay, so starting the summer season, Carol, we've actually in Artport, we've been open since February, and we've had sort of general shows where we have all of the artists that are part of the gallery having pieces up in kind of equal amounts. But starting in the summer season, we decided to go with featured artists. And this month, in June, specifically starting June 2nd, running through July 5th, there are two featured artists, myself and Bill.
And Bill. Okay.
And we're actually a really good pairing because encaustic painting is a combination of hot wax, hot melted beeswax, and damar resin. And the surface that's created on 2D work, you know, painting panels, wood panels, or on objects, is a very layered, translucent, luxurious kind of finished look. And we thought it was a wonderful contrast with metal sculpture.
Absolutely. One thing you just said now that I don't think I've ever seen the wax applied to anything but two-dimensional art. So did you say it is sometimes?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Yes. In fact, I'll have a papier-mâché mask. Okay. I've done a series of masks where I actually create the paper mache model, and then I apply the wax on the surface of that. And again, you get that wonderful translucent look, and it's a really interesting look. You can't get it with any other medium, I think. And then also, you can also get vessels, and I'll be showing a vessel also.
Made of clay or made
of paper? Well, it's initially made of plaster.
Plaster, okay.
Yeah, around a mold that I've created. And then it's painted inside and out with encaustic. And then a lot of, you can use a whole variety of different techniques.
So when you apply, when you use the encaustic, are you applying hot wax?
Yes.
So how does that work with something like paper mache or plaster? There's no chemical kind of?
No. You heat the, well, of course, the plaster cast will be a dried plaster, and the paper mache will be a dried mold. Then you heat the surfaces, and then you apply the hot wax to it, and then as you apply additional layers, you fuse each layer to the layer below with propane torches or heat guns, and I decide which one is not going to turn my studio into a fire.
Yeah, I'm sitting here making faces like, did she just say put a torch on a paper mache? Oh, my God. Okay. Those of us who live in wooden houses, once again, we're very careful about this.
Well, that's true. That's
true. Have you been doing encaustic for a long time?
Yes. I've been doing it for over 15 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
boy, this sounds wonderful. So now, and this show will be up through July?
Through July 5th.
5th, okay.
And we'll each have quite a few pieces. I'll have over 15 pieces.
Oh, nice. Okay. Okay, now, Bill, tell us about your work. I have no idea what size or what... I haven't seen any pictures of your work, so tell us.
Well, they're an assemblage of steel bits and pieces, kind of left over from the process of making larger work. So they, you know, end up sitting around, and they are assemblages of my family, basically, home scenes. When I, Annie and I had our first son, that was a very moving moment for both of us. And so with that, we were in transition. I didn't really have a studio. But I did have a torch, and I did have metal pieces.
See, they both have torches. That's the
and
the common amount. So how big would a finished piece be?
On average, they are approximately 9 to 12 inches tall.
Okay,
By 4 inches square, kind of a footprint.
Okay, footprint, but they're obviously it's not a block. So
no,
it's, okay.
No,
Is it mostly sort of figurative? Is that
that's right?
What I'm hearing from you when you talk about family?
Mostly mother and child, you know, just being inspired, seeing Annie with a new baby and watching her become a mother, and then me scratching my head trying to figure out what the heck I was supposed to do. And so it all kind of...
Did Annie tell you?
Well,
oh, sorry.
Nature helped out a little bit, but
yeah,
mostly Annie, yeah.
Okay, so, and then do you, what does it look like color-wise or surface? Is it smooth surface or is it welded or?
It's welded. Some of the pieces are angular and jagged. Some are soft and smooth. Some of the metal is rusty, reclaimed.
Oh, nice.
And then I give him an acid bath just to take him back down to the clean metal.
Uh-huh.
And then from there, I'll utilize a method that blacksmiths sometimes use, which just entails heating up the metal and then covering it in a wax, and that wax then being pulled into the pores, which turn protects it from rusting in the future.
Got it. I see why you two go together here.
Right.
They both have torches and they're both using wax.
Right.
Exactly.
It's a natural,
and
obvious.
The contrast.
And they
the,
look so different, obviously,
right.
Because the encaustic is this luscious kind of smooth finish, and then you've got all these jagged
dark angular pieces.
Sounds fantastic. Now, is there some place where folks can go to see either of your work?
Actually, yes. We've got a real nice picture of both of the works on the Coast Community Radio board.
Oh, on the website.
On the website.
Okay, so folks, if you go to coastradio.org and you look in the events, this will be on June 2nd. It will be listed. And this is the Artport Gallery, Origin of Myths. Who chose the title and why? Okay, then wait. She's looking over at my next guest, so we'll get to her in a second. we'll finish that story out. Okay, Artport Gallery is on the, obviously, port of Ilwaco, and there's plenty of parking there, and the opening will be on June 2nd. And the time?
We're going to be open between, we're actually open all summer, Thursday through Saturday, 11 to 5. Mm-hmm. But we're going to extend the hours for our artist reception. Mm-hmm. And so we'll be open between 3 and 7. Mm-hmm. And it will be a typical artist reception. I'll be doing a carving demo.
Oh, great.
And we'll have refreshments.
That's not so typical. That's lovely that you'll be doing a demo as well. Well, it sounds like a fabulous show. And this is, again, next. And remember, this is a Friday night. A lot of times, art openings are on Saturday nights. So put this on your calendar for Friday the 2nd from 3 to 7 at Artport Gallery in Ilwaco, on the port of Ilwaco. And congratulations to you both.
Thank you
very much.
And I don't even have to tell you to break your legs because you're not doing theater. So that's a good thing. Okay, now, I am going to immediately, with out any break, shift over, and let's see. Good. That's good. We're shifting mics as well as I speak. Okay. And now my other two guests are Penny Treat and Jenna Austin Nesbitt. And, well, I'm going to let them tell you the exciting news. And, of course, the Artport Gallery is part of this. Now you're going to hear the whole story about the revival of the Ilwaco Art Walk Plus. Congratulations on this. Very exciting.
It is very exciting.
Remember the microphone. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
We are, I think everyone that's been part of this, from the grassroots people, the businesses, the artists, the sponsors, have just been overwhelmingly supportive of this idea of bringing back the art walk to Ilwaco.
When was the last time that there was an art walk in Ilwaco?
Well, Jenna would know more than that because she was there, I think, for the very first art walk, but...
Did we skip it last year? Last year might have been the first year that we didn't do it, we might have done it. But we're adding the downtown, so we're kind of changing it up a little bit.
We're changing it up, so it's more comprehensive.
So it's the port and the town.
The downtown. Right. And the downtown is, from our point of view, many, has been a bit overlooked, and as you know, Ilwaco itself is in great need of development and, you know, buildings and new business and so forth. So we have a lot to crow about because the businesses on this,
you've got 16 venues here.
I know.
And
what's so cool is, like, Roots, which is a drive-in to get coffee, Sirius Pizza, the Old Town Cafe, and also there's...
Are they showing art?
What they're doing is each one, we've asked if they would do a thread of art mm-hmm. through their venue. Mm-hmm. In other words, maybe make this incredible latte that's arty.
Oh, I see.
I mean, because art for me is in all things.
Right. So,
you know, it's even in your T-shirt you're wearing. And
you bet it is.
You bet it is,
this
girl.
This is the gorilla philosopherian. You bet it
yeah,
is.
Yeah. So for us to be able to be inclusive in mm-hmm. this was really a mission, and we've done that.
Yes, this is exciting. So you gave Queen La-Di-Da, which would be Jenna's business. You are one of the supporting businesses, but you're also an artist. Let's get real. So what did you decide to do with your business?
Well, at Queen La-Di-Da's, which is downtown now and not at the Port of Iwako, I've been in transition for some little health sabbatical, we'll call it. And so I'm not actually open, but at my entryway, I will be doing a free coloring page. So I'm doing a Queen La-Di-Da's mermaid coloring page.
Wonderful.
And we couldn't participate for June because I had some other stuff going on. Like I said, I'm still in transition, but that's what we're doing there. So just stop by there and get that. But I'm also here today to represent the Don Nisbett Art Gallery.
And yes, which is in the gallery part. And, of course, Don Nisbett's work, if you live around here, you have seen it, I guarantee you. You may not know, but once you start looking, you'll realize, oh, that's a Don Nisbett. Oh, that's a Don Nisbett.
Yes, and we're having a crab party. We're pretty excited about it.
Hey, I've been to your parties at the Don Nisbett Gallery before in past years, so that's wonderful. So you have seven galleries and eight more businesses or nine more businesses,
yes.
Something. I'm trying to do my math
something
here.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some of the other venues will be doing hosting artists, like at Old Town Cafe, mm-hmm. and everybody's doing something a little bit different.
The Salt is having a mystery artist, and the Antique Gallery, which, you know, people would drive by on their way to the port, but now they have wonderful collectibles and antiques, and they're focusing on French impressionistic
right.
artists. So each venue is doing something totally cool.
Nice combination. So I'm just looking to see, the galleries are not all on the port. I see one art port, which is where my other guests are showing that night. Marie Powell, Don Nisbett, and Pearly Shell Fiber Arts. Oh, and Schroeder Woodworking. Those are all on the port.
Correct.
And then Bill Atwood.
This is Bill.
Oh.
He's kind of hidden away on a little side
He's
street.
In Iwako. Do you know where the artisan was?
Yes, of course.
That's where Bill has his foundry.
Oh, my God. That's a hard... Wait, hold on. That's a tricky one to find, yeah. But it's a great space.
Annie and I are in that building.
Oh, that's Annie Eskelin.
That's correct.
Oh, and you're...
She's my wife.
Now I know who you
We've
are.
We've met before.
Yes, now I know who you are. You're the sculptor husband of the artist Annie.
The amazing artist
and
Annie.
And now Annie becomes the artist wife of the sculptor, Bill Atwood.
Oh, she's second to none.
I was going to say mishpacha, but I'll say family for you.
Annie
guys.
Is responsible for this wonderful graphic.
Of course,
which
doesn't
is so
surprise me.
Exactly.
Annie does a little bit of everything. She's just a wonderful artist. Okay, so you and Annie have your own studio that's happening the very same night as your opening at Artport.
Yes, we'll have our doors open, and we'll also have Jacob Moore of Jacob's Hammer. He'll be in there with us showing his work as well.
Oh, I like his work. Yeah, I've seen that too. Oh, I see. He's right here. Same address. Terrific. And,
And also River Zen is, they're doing a yoga demonstration.
Right.
You know,
River Zen Yoga, which started here in Astoria and is still in Astoria, but they opened up on the Port of Iwako too. What is the Serious Pizza going to have an artistic pizza?
I don't know. You've got to come.
Oh my goodness.
Everyone. That's why it's going to be so much fun. So when we say you'll get hooked at the bottom, we mean that.
Okay. So here's the deal.
Maybe by a fisherman.
Woo! So the party, for example, the crab party at Don Nisbett, whatever the pizza's doing, Jacob's Hammer and Bill and Annie, the party part is happening for the opening, which is 3 to 7, is that right, on Friday the 2nd. But the artwork at the galleries will be...
Yeah, the art walk isn't going is going anywhere. To be 5 to 7 p.m.
Yeah, yeah, and we're June 2nd, July 7th, August 4th, right, and September 1.
Right.
So it's
each month.
The first Friday. So we, right, we've tried to be careful
about...
That's
great. About. That's great.
Also, if I can, my 6-year-old son, Owen Atwood, he'll be debuting his... sculptures, Lego sculptures. We have
cool.
approximately 10 of them.
Wow.
He's pretty excited about that. So.
Wow, it's a good thing you got that artisan space. It's big.
It is. We're getting ready.
You see, so we'll have... I would think he'd be fine with a torch at the artisan studio. I'm not so sure about
And
Barb.
Of course, Marie Powell, of course. She has a wonderful artist that does basket weaving. She'll be featuring them.
Out of the ropes found on the beach.
Out of the ropes found on the beach.
Fantastic. So it's going to be a real celebration. Friday, a week from tonight, Ilwaco Art and Walk. Is there a...
It's our grand opening.
Grand opening. Where, if people need a reminder, is there a website?
We have a brand new Facebook page. Yeah. It's called Ilwaco Art Walk. And okay, then also you can always go to Discover Ilwaco. And we have a really big Facebook page that stays active and lists all the events. And we'll link to that as well. But you can go right to Facebook for Ilwaco Art Walk.
Okay, now... For someone who isn't on Facebook, like me, where can they find information?
Just pick up a rat card at the Visitors Bureau, okay, or any of these venues. They have rat cards with a map, so you can see all the numbers in the venue, so you can see, great, where to find them. And when, okay, I was looking at it, I noticed that it's kind of in a nice order if you started and you went around, or you could go in reverse. Mm-hmm. But the fun part about the Ilwaco Art Walk, I think, is... You know, sometimes when people see downtown, like Penny was talking about, you might see the empty buildings, but there's a lot of hidden treasures, like Bill's spot over off the street, walk by the boat yard, and I mean, it's own experience.
It's cool.
And
we have great plans for the future, as you well know.
Oh, cool.
You know, we're going to have pop-up galleries down there. This is
great.
The first step in what we want to do.
Good. I'm delighted. Congratulations to all of Ilwaco.
Thank you.
Do pick up one of these. She's been saying... Rack, R-A-C-K cards, not rat, R-A-T. Just wanted to clarify that. Pick up one of these, and you'll be able to find everything out. Thank you so much, Penny Treat, and Jenna Austin Nesbitt, and Barbara Mallon. Got it.
Terrific.
Right this time. And Bill Atwood. I'm writing phonetics for English. You know, it's thank you all so much, and congratulations.
Thank you, Carol, for having
thank
us on board.
Okay. See you in a walk-up.
I'm going to put on some music from John Stowell from the group Scenes. They are going to be at Gala tonight. You're hearing the tune Fun with Fruit. I also want to remind you to give us a call and get yourself a ticket to the wonderful Cole Porter play in Nehalem this weekend, tonight, tomorrow night at 7, or Sunday at 2. Call us right now, 503-325-0010. We'll have the tickets in Will Call, so you can just pick them up right there. I made the trip. You can do it, too, and it's well worth it. So tonight, you have Riverbend, you have Kala, you also have the coaster, Barefoot in the Park. I had my 3 minutes of fame last week. I don't know who's doing it this week, but it's a delightful production. North Tillamook Library in Manzanita has a big book sale. Cannon Beach History Center is featuring Beth Willis tonight. And Beth is going to be over at the Public Coast Brewing in Cannon Beach tomorrow. And Sand Trap, Ma Fondue, Pitchwood Ale House in Raymond, Mario Carbani. There's so much going on. The Adrift has Pretty Gritty, a band I really love. They are tonight. And then on Saturday, they're at the Pitchwood in Raymond. And the Cannon Beach Chamber has the Palette Puddlers all weekend. Troll Radio Review tomorrow at 11 o'clock upstairs at the Fort George. And it's going to be a fun one with the entire Astoria High School Port City Singers and the Lazy Boys. And the Hoffman has a Brazilian violin trio on Saturday. I'm out of time. It's Coast Community Radio. Folks, call me if you need more things to do. Next Thursday, Judith Arcana, the poet, is coming to town. This, you're listening to John Stowell, and you're listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUNS, Story 919, KTCB Tillamook, 89.5.